Welcome to Corgi Confident. My name's Alyssa. I am the self-proclaimed Corgi Queen. Let's talk corgis. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Corgi Confident. Hope everyone had a good 4th of July weekend and a good 3-day weekend if you are one of those lucky people to get a 3-day weekend for this holiday. We are back with Wiggle Butt Wednesday, where we talk all things corgi. And today I'm going to be talking about exercising your corgi. And I think this is a topic that I'm probably the most passionate about because obesity is really common in this breed, and extra weight on them can just cause unnecessary strain on their joints and back that can be really easily prevented. One of the reasons I started a lot of my social media pages, whoa, words are hard, was to show a fit corgi and a corgi that has a proper weight, just because you see so many overweight or obese corgis in social media. So this is going to be a couple ways to exercise your corgi. The first way is the most traditional way, which is to take them on a walk. And some of the pros for this one is it's easy to do. Mostly everyone can do it. It doesn't really require any expensive equipment or any special gear. You can just use a collar and a leash and you're good to go. And you get your exercise as well, right? Like, you're also out walking and getting your own steps in. So while it's the most traditional way, it's actually not my favorite way to exercise corgis. And it's just really, I don't really like primarily using walks to exercise your dog. Now, it is better than nothing, so I'm not saying it's, you know, a bad choice necessarily. I just think there's better ways to do it, or better ways to exercise your corgi. But one of the reasons I don't really like walks is because no matter how fast you go, you're already going slow for the dog, right? Like, dogs are way, way, way faster than us, so we really are holding them back. And secondly, they require training. Dogs will pull. It requires training to teach them not to pull. And training takes time, which again means you're going to be going slowly, and they're still not going to really be getting much exercise. So a recent alternative that I started using is I will actually use a 40-foot long line on our walks, and they are called decompression walks. Basically what they are is the dog gets to decide where to go, where to sniff, and they can walk a little bit faster while all still being under control. And so I like this method because it gives them some mental stimulation as well, because they are doing more sniffing. They're able to go a little bit faster, like I mentioned, so they're able to be a little bit more active than if you were to do a traditional walk. And it can just be a little bit more fun. They don't have to be in ultimate good dog mode. But I will stress that I use a long line over a flexi or a retractable lead because a long line does give you more control. So if something were to happen, it's not as easy to reel them in with a flexi lead as it is a long line. You can reel them in really, really quickly with a long line. And doing a walk like this also gives you a chance to practice their off-leash skills in a more safe environment. So usually for Mazza, what I'll do is he'll be off doing his thing, and if I notice him looking at me, then I yes and reward him. And I reward him for staying close to me and not wandering off too much. I'll reward him. And so far, he really doesn't use the whole 40 feet that he has. Unless I'm walking ahead of him because he stopped to sniff and I just kind of keep walking. But for the most part, he doesn't get further than maybe 20 feet away from me. But he does have that option if he wants to be further away. And I would also potentially, depending on your dog, not really practice this on a busy street or neighborhood. For Maslow, he knows to stay on the sidewalk. He doesn't wander away from the sidewalk, even if there's a squirrel or bird across the street. He just doesn't wander away. He stays on the sidewalk. And now that could be just because we go the same route, or relatively the same route on our walks. I do switch it up a little bit, but he knows the area, so he knows basically where we're stepping, right? Like, he doesn't really need to wander too far. But if you're going to try this method, I would try it first in an empty field or open space, just so, you know, they're not going to potentially get themselves into danger. But I do really, really like using this 40-foot line on my walk so far. And I do notice Maslow is more tired after these walks than he is from our traditional walks. So it could be something to try for your dog. Everything's always worth trying, right? So that's the most traditional way. Taking your dog for a walk is the most traditional form of exercise that most people know when they own a dog. Some other ways that people might not think about is using a flirt pole. So a flirt pole. It looks kind of like a fishing pole, and then it has a toy at the end, and you can just use the pole to throw the toy around from one side to the other and just really give your dogs exercise. It almost looks like a dog version of a cat toy. And they're really easy to find. You can find them on Chewy. You can find them on Amazon. I've seen them at some pet stores, but I wouldn't say it's really a common pet store item. But I have used a flirt pole a little bit. I don't use it quite as much. That's just me. I'm always losing things, and I just can never seem to find it when I want to use it. So that's more of a personal problem. But a flirt pole is a good way to exercise your dog. Another underrated form of exercise is fetch. So I don't think people really think about fetch when it comes to exercising your dog. But if you think about it, they're running full speed towards this toy. That's a great way to exercise, running full speed sprint towards something. And the best part about it is you don't really need to do anything special. You don't have to go anywhere special. You can just stay in your house for this. So it's really, really easy to do. And you can just keep throwing that ball until they're tired. And you can do this while you're watching TV. You can do this while you're listening to music. You don't really... It's not like you have to focus 100% on them. You can multitask while also doing this, which I think is a lot easier for a lot of dog owners, right? You can also practice some of their obedience skills while playing fetch, just to throw in that mental stimulation element. So what I like to do is I'll ask Maslow for a sit stay or a down stay, and then I'll throw the toy. And he doesn't get to go get that toy until he's released. But going and getting that toy is rewarding for him. That's what is rewarding that behavior. And it just helps strengthen his stay commands, which is always a good thing. And like I previously mentioned, it's really good mental stimulation if you add in that that training element. And it doesn't have to be just like obedience stuff. You can ask for different tricks too. You can ask them for a shake before you throw it. You can ask them for a rollover before you throw it. You can ask them for a spin before you throw the toy. And I think just adding a combo of the physical exercise with the mental stimulation gets them really, really exhausted and tired, which is what you want, right? Another form of exercise for your dogs that I don't think people really think about is trick training. There are a lot of pretty common dog tricks that do actually require some kind of strength or body awareness of some kind. Just to list a few, a really common trick is rollover. A lot of people want to teach their dogs to rollover, but that is a core strength. So that can take a while for some dogs to learn. Same thing with sit pretty. Sit pretty takes a lot of core strength as well. And then spin. A lot of people teach their dogs to spin, not knowing that that is actually hind end awareness. They have to know their body. They have to have body awareness in order to spin correctly. It does teach them some hind end awareness. Another really traditional dog trick is bow, which is a good back stretch for them. But again, these are just some tricks that we don't really think about as requiring strength for our dogs because they're just such traditional tricks that we don't really think about that. But there are some other things that you can teach your dog to help with their strength. Some easy ones are paws up on an object. So like a box, a stool, a couch, just paws up on an object. You can also do paws up on your arm. So you hold your arm out, they put their two front paws on your arm. You can have them put their paws on a wall. And all three of those things are going to teach them some core strength. It's going to help them strengthen their core. And you can step it up a notch by teaching them to close a door. Because that is going to add a moving element for them, and they're going to have more weight on their back legs. You can also add in some hind-end awareness by having them put their paws up on your arm and walk forward. So like while you're walking backwards, they're walking forwards towards you, and they have to move their little back feet for some hind-end awareness and some hind-end strength. That's also a very good exercise. If you're wanting to work on balance with your corgi, super, super easy. Lay down a line of pillows. You can have some stacked pillows, some pillows stacked 3 high, 2 high, 1 high, just a various line of pillows, and have them walk across it, and that is going to help with their balance. You can also do a little balance beam, just putting like a slab of wood out and have them walk across it. That's going to help with their balance. For some hind end awareness and some more hind end strength, you can do some cavalettis. If you don't have cavalettis, it's just walking a line of sticks. You can just get anything, a broom, a mop handle, multiple of those, and just have them walk the line of sticks. Emphasis on walking. We don't want to have them running because you really want to emphasize them picking up each leg to go over the stick. Now, if you want to do it in the more traditional cavalettis way, then you just have them in rows, or you can have them as like scattered sticks and they have to figure out how to walk across it that way. Again, the emphasis is going to be on walking just to make sure that they pick up both of their hind legs especially. I find with corgis doing cavalettis, they tend to just kind of jump over it like little hurdles, which is not really the point of this exercise. The point of this exercise is to get them moving their legs individually, not really with jumping and hops. Some more hind end awareness tricks, figure eights and leg weaves, which are really, really similar actions, but just a little different. But same thing, figure eights through your legs is going to help a lot with their hind end awareness. And same thing with leg weaves. Next up, to help with some neck strength, you can teach them soccer or nose pushing a ball. Again, that's going to help with their neck strength. It doesn't have to be any kind of a weighted ball or anything like that, but they're just pushing the ball with their nose. And to add for another strength exercise, a platform jump, which sounds super fancy, but basically just get like two boxes next to each other and have them jump from one box to the other. And that's all it is. And that is going to be, I think I mentioned it already, but that is a strength exercise. Now those have just been just a little tidbit of dog tricks that you can train your dog that are also going to help with their fitness and muscle building. But there's so many more tricks out there that don't require special equipment that help you exercise your dog. And I have done so many of these, and they have helped so much with Maslow and his muscle strength and his various other sports. So I do recommend training some of these things, although they might not be as exciting as some other tricks that you can do. They do help build that muscle for more of those exciting, extravagant, flashy tricks that you may want to do in the future. Lastly, for exercising your corgi, this is going to be the expensive option, but I am going to mention it just because I do really enjoy this option for me personally. But I do recognize that it is not easily acceptable for most pet parents. I actually own a treadmill for my dogs. Specifically, it is a slat mill. So basically that means it is not automated. It's not automatic, it's not electric at all. And so I mainly use it for Maslow, but he controls the speed. So that means he can either do a casual walk if that's what he's in the mood for, or he could run as fast as he wants at full speed. There's a couple reasons I like treadmills for exercising my dogs, and a lot of people, when they hear I have a treadmill for my dog, they think it's just because I'm lazy and they just tell me to get out and exercise my dog and just walk my dog, basically. They say just get out and walk your dog. But I believe that a treadmill, it doesn't necessarily replace traditional walks, but I do think sometimes that it can be better than a traditional walk. Because, like I just mentioned, he can either go really, really slow and just have a casual stroll, or he can run as fast as he wants. And, like I had mentioned previously in this episode, the traditional walk does tend to hold your dog back more. Dogs can walk or run a lot faster than we can. And so, without me holding him back, he's able to sprint at full speed and get more of a workout in. And at least with the one I have, I can change the incline of it to make it more difficult for him. And again, all of this is by choice, so I don't force him to do it. He does get lots of treats during, he gets lots of verbal praise, and I always have a bowl of water nearby. And if I feel like he's panting a little excessively, then I will make him take a break and get some water. But again, it is all just up to him what he wants to do. And I will say, having a treadmill has definitely come in handy in some of the more extreme weather days. So on snow days, when it's too cold for me to walk them, it's been nice to have so that they can still get some energy out. And it's been really helpful to have with these crazy 100 degree days that we've been having in Washington, or just in general hot days when the pavement is just too warm for their little paw pads. It's been nice to have as an extra backup just to make sure that they do get their exercise in. There was also a week or more last summer where we had really poor air quality due to wildfires. There was just too much smoke in the air. So, for those days, again, it was really nice to have that treadmill because it was just unsafe for both me and my dogs to be outside and in that kind of air quality. It just wasn't healthy for us. So, to be able to have that treadmill for that was just really, really helpful, again, just to make sure that they do get all their energy out. Now, of course, with all of this being said, my dogs also do a lot of dog sports. Maslow specifically does agility, fly ball, and barn hunt on a regular basis. So that does factor into how I exercise him. He does not get walks every day. He will get walks about 4 times a week, I'll say. And then he has agility and fly ball on the same day and barn hunt on another day. And then he'll get a day or two of a break where he doesn't really get that much exercise. other than the occasional game of fetch or running and chasing his, you know, brother or sister. Well, brother or mom, since Lexi is his mom. But either way, they don't really get walks every day. They don't, just because there's so many other ways that they all get exercise, that they don't really need a walk every day. They don't. They're all fit, they're all in shape, so they are not in need of that daily walk. And as far as mental stimulation goes, a lot of people will also say, with the treadmill specifically, you know, walks, they get to smell things, do all this, do all that. It's about more than just walking. Well, that's true. I do think it's about more than just walking. It's also that they can sniff and smell other things, because that's also rewarding for them. But again, like I mentioned, there's other ways for them to be mentally stimulated. Like I had mentioned, the training element with both playing fetch and teaching some of those strength exercises. But there's also food puzzles that you can do and other games that you can do with your dog to help with that mental stimulation aspect if you don't want to walk them every day. There's other ways to give them exercise and mental stimulation. So just to wrap up, exercising your corgi doesn't have to be this huge ordeal. It doesn't have to be this huge thing. Again, yes, I do go a little above and beyond with it. I am a little out of the ordinary with the fact that I have a treadmill and we do a lot of dog sports. But before that, before we had those things, we did walks, we played fetch, and we learned tricks. And that was our main form of exercise. And you don't need anything fancy at home in order to keep your dog in shape. You don't need any special equipment. You don't need to be spending ridiculous amounts of money or anything like that. There's a lot of things that you can do at home that are going to be both fun for you and your corgi. And they shouldn't feel like a chore, right? I think that's always the best thing about it with any aspect of training or just owning a dog, is it shouldn't feel like a chore. It should feel like something you enjoy doing. And I think a lot of the examples that I listed today are just all things that you can do to have fun with your dog that just so happen to give them a healthier life. And so with that, this has been Wiggle Butt Wednesday, exercising your corgi. We will talk to you guys next week. Have a good one. Corgi Confident is for educational purposes only. Please contact a vet, trainer, groomer, or other pet professional in your area for help. Want more corgi content? Make sure to follow Maslow the Trick Corgi on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. And if you have a question, you can email us at corgiconfidentpodcast@gmail.com. This is the Corgi Queen signing off.